Okay.
William.
James is on the call.
What was that?
William Fistan.
Kim Thagard is on the call.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Yeah, just got
all
in.
Right. So you're here. Let me ask, is Pat Logan on the call? That's not. Okay. So question
Matt
for
on the call?
General
is Matt
manager
on the call?
And
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Who's all there? Right. What?
Matt Maz, I was wondering. I gave him the number.
Okay, Matt Maz is here. Okay, so we have from your report that we're 114, well, basically 115 grand in the red so far for FY20. And we have a total accounts payable of approaching 780 grand. So I think that's a problem. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope we raise money with that, and I don't know if there's much else to be said at that point in time. Anybody else have more questions?
Yeah, William for the stack.
Okay, William here, Wagon. Go ahead.
Thank you. That's old question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea Katz, did she resign?
Yeah, Andrea Katz had resigned since early January. And then, because she was looking into pursuing, what she likes, which is teaching fashion and things like that. And then also when the COVID hit, she had second thought, but at that time we had already made some decisions. And then, she left. And so I'd like to report, thankfully, that I spoke to her yesterday, and the schools, the Parsons School of Business and Fashions and all of those things, they are definitely, giving her, whatever she had planned on. So she's good. She's okay.
Okay. Then I have a question. I thought I heard you mention severance pay in contact, in connection with her name.
Yeah.
She resigned.
Yeah.
Is there severance pay?
Well, there are a few things. There's some severance pay, vacation. There was a package. There was a package we put together for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it shouldn't be referred to as severance pay. It should be just like we owed her some vacation and maybe, I don't know what Pacific policy is, but maybe sick days. But that should be it, not severance pay. She wasn't fired.
Yeah, well, that's what I called it. But that,
well,
basically it was...
Something else.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, she stayed an extra month to cover the transition and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Further questions?
Yes. This is Noel.
Go ahead.
I have a question. When she was hired, was there a loan taken out to cover her initial expenses?
Yes, and half of that was paid, and then I think the other half was either forgiven or was taken care of. But she had doubled her salary by then, and then we had taken care of that.
Excuse me, William.
The loan was either paid off or forgiven, but we don't. Is there documentation as to the resolution of that?
I can get in touch with the national office and get that. Okay, so.
Oh, the national office is aware and they have the documentation and they are satisfied that the obligation has been resolved.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The HR was heavily involved and it was it was not hostile. So there was a lot of conversation with Andrew and HR, NETA HR, and then.
Excellent.
Yeah.
William.
William, does anybody else want to go for a first time before we go to a second time?
I would like to comment on something.
Okay, Matt Mazin, go ahead.
By the way, with the premiums, I would like to mention David Rothenberg. he's always coming up with good stuff. And over the several week period, he must have done about $10,000. Various books and CDs and DVDs that he comes up with. So that's more income than we've gotten. And he's a regular. When the theater tickets are going, we haven't had them with this COVID because theaters have been closed. But when he's going, that's a good staple source of income.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none, hear Wagon. Go ahead.
Okay, now I have to remember what I was going to say. Oh, yes, the roughly $30,000 that came up years ago to induce us to hire Andrea Katz, that we were, Pacifica was sued for that by Steve Brown. So I don't know that that was all cleared amicably. It may still be in a lawsuit if we didn't pay it already.
All right. Anybody else have anything? If nobody else has anything, we can move on to the next agenda item, okay, which is set next meeting date. So set next meeting date is what we're doing right now. And look at fast calendar here. Okay, this is the 5th. All right, Bertold, when would be good for you? When can you make a meeting? Any Wednesday or any whenever?
Any Wednesday if it's not an LSB meeting.
Well, you're obviously not an LSB meeting. Okay, how about, well, let's see.
I was looking at the schedule you put out for the audit, for the timeline.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that our next LSB meeting is August the 19th, right?
It's August 12th.
August the 12th.
1 week from tonight.
So we probably should meet between the 12th and September the 9th, so that we can hopefully have the LSB. LSB has August the 12th and September the 9th. So we want to be able to get the LSB to see this budget and then get it ready and approve if need be before September the 22nd. Well, way before that, so that the Treasurer can present it to the National Finance Committee.
Okay. So when can you make a meeting? Maybe August 26th?
Yes. That sounds good.
All right. I'll make a motion. Let me go over here. All right. I move that we meet next on August 26th at 7 p.m. via, you know, this stuff, teleconference. Any debate on that? Hey, I don't hear any.
Mark Ball?
Yes.
This is James. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do this under some somewhat adverse circumstance. I couldn't make myself heard. There is a governance committee meeting on that date. It does begin at 8:30. So theoretically, I could do that. Would it be impossible, or is there any other time that would be convenient for everyone else?
I'm wondering whether you could do it early.
I can do that Thursday, the 27th.
I have a question. Why can't we do it on the 19th? Because we need to have this ready. It's getting awfully close to when we have to submit our okay to it. What's wrong with the 19th?
Are you making an amendment?
Yes, I think we need to have as many meetings as possible so that we can actually have a budget that gets passed, all right? Not given to us.
Okay, so you want to make it, your amendment is to make it the 19th.
Yes.
I will note, looking at kpftx.org, that is also a governance committee meeting night. They're meeting on both the 19th and the 26th, so.
Can we make it the 20th? Thursday, is there anything on the 20th?
Well, the Thursday can always become a PND meeting, so it's not advisable. And I think governance is meeting on the 19th. The 26th is the day they chose, two, 3 months ago? But at their last meeting, they chose the 19th. So I think someone just forgot to cancel the 26th.
James? Do you know anything about that? Do you know if maybe the 26th is actually open?
That does sound right. So let's go with the 26th, and I'll be there for an hour and a half if I have to, and then switch over.
Okay. Jeffrey, you still want to try and make it the 19th?
No, sorry, the 26th. I thought we have enough meetings for the week. Get this budget approved, right?
Okay, so you're withdrawing. You want to withdraw the 19th, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any further debate on meeting on the 26th of August at 7 p.m. on teleconference? Hearing none. Is there any objection to meeting on that date and time? Hearing none. It's passed without objection. Okay. Next item. Is continue working on the WBAI FY21 budget. Okay.
Okay. So do you want me to start that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So at the last meeting, for everyone who are here, if you go into the assumption, you will see that the projection is that we would raise we'll do 25 days a week, a month, and then that 25 days a month will bring us $100,000 for that month. And then so that adds up to $1.2 million for the year. That's gross. That's pledge. Now, if you go into the budget, first of all, we are assuming 78.3% fulfillment rate. And then if you take that number times 78.3%, if you take that number times 1.2 times 78.3%, that's about $939,000. That's exactly $939,600. So now, our Paul Martin rightfully pointed that if you look in the budget, you don't see that $939,000 or whatever. You see $1.02 million. So $1.02 million, 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 $1.02 million 39,600. So there's a discrepancy of 82,725. So when I looked at the spreadsheet, I sent something that's called an explanation. And also, and on the explanation sheet, I also sent a spreadsheet that shows the history of a fulfillment rate. The explanation is showing that basically, once we, you know, if you look at every month, when we say that we are netting 78.18%, even less than 3%. We are projecting $78,180 net coming in from the website, from the pledges. Even though we know it's a lot higher, it's like 82%, but we are going to lowball this. Yeah, but then there's a $9,000 residual from previous fund drive and previous pledges that we continue to pursue that keeps coming in. And then there's something called renewal mail. That is the new renewal mail is very little. It's $1,725, but in December, which is usually the holiday season where we do the holiday outreach, and then end of the year outreach, then the renewal and the mail goes to 20,000. So if you put all of that together, then it makes up for the amount of money that ARPOL, so that was missing. I also wanted to, in that spreadsheet, I just kind of, I guess had nothing to do. I was putting off the numbers, and I just also plugged in at the bottom the community events and theater tickets, the projections of what I thought that was going to happen with that, and then the grants and bequests of 2020. So you can see the grants and bequests of 2020. There are two grants and bequests four grants, and all of these grants and bequests is from March to present that have not manifested themselves yet. The $10,000, we did receive it, but we received it. It was made to WBAI radio station, so we had to send it back because they had to write Pacifica Foundation / WBAI for Chase to cash anything that's over $2,500. Yeah, anything else, even if you put Donald Trump for $10 and then you put it on Chase, they will cash it. They will deposit it for you, but anything like $5,000, $10,000, they play these games. So I sent this to the lawyer. I voided the check, sent it to them about 3 weeks ago, and I'm waiting for them to get back to me, to send me that $10,000. We also have a $200,000 bequest. I didn't want to talk about it because I just wanted, sometimes you guys talk about me being too, wishful thinking person. But we've had that for like a month now, a month and a half. We received the letters, we responded. Now that Arthur Schwartz is our corporate lawyer and I have a relationship with him, he responds to those things with his lawyer title. So which makes it better for me. In the past, I used to respond to all of these with Andrea Katz. So that $200,000 is legitimate. Arthur researched that gentleman. He has a whole lot of money. He's also extending $200,000 to the Fortune Society. He's sending a whole lot of money all over the place. And his account has a lot of money. And that money is growing every day, every month. So that $200,000 is probably going to be a little more. I'm projecting that it will come in September, but you can't be totally sure. And if that was to happen, then we probably would break even this year. For the first time, in 7 years.
Bernold, last question.
Mm-hmm.
That little spreadsheet, 2021 explanations, row 7 is full of errors. I guess that's supposed to be total. It says total. So, do you see that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so those are just the... I guess we should go in and fill them in by hand or something.
You don't look like you're dressed too much.
Let's see. Yeah. There's some... What is that? B4, B7... you put it in through B7, and so it's adding itself. Of course it's going to
itself, yeah. Yeah, that's... Okay, yeah,
right.
Okay.
I see what you did there. Okay, so you can go in and hand correct that. All right. So, are you done?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's averaging 89,000, 85, 89, 102. So, at the end, though, it's 1.02 I'm sorry, I was focusing on the 1.02, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's in the 80s.
You want me to send it back? Send us another one?
I'm correcting it by hand right now, but do as you will. Okay, so on this budget, you're get to the bottom line here. On this budget, your projection is you're projecting a 109 deficit. Is that it?
Yes.
Yep, on me. See, that's a slightly different number than I saw before. So you're saying you're projecting a deficit of 109 for 2021, and I am not at all certain about. I have to say, I am not at all certain about your assumptions. Your assumptions here are rosy, as we've called them in the past. And by the way, on the assumptions, when you make this thing out, would you please go through the assumptions spreadsheet and get rid of the stuff from years past? You got stuff in there from talking about 2014 and 2009.
Yeah, they're not counted. I just have to change the dates. You know, it's like, you know, it has to be war over one couple of years.
No, you don't just have to change the dates. You have to go in and get rid of all of that stuff that's under here, because you've done this for a number of years, and people notice that you're sending in, you know, that what you've done is you've taken an old spreadsheet, plugged into some new numbers in one part, and then they're looking at stuff from 10 years ago. So just go through it and wipe out what's not new, because it's going to cause problems at the NFC and maybe PNB level, okay?
Okay, I'll clean up that assumption sheet.
Yeah. So right now, however, I saw your other thing here, which is talking about the
52 weeks.
What's coming in? Yeah, and it's lower than you had than you got projected here. So your assumptions are projecting higher so far, and we're not very far into the 52 weeks, and I don't know. I mean, I am kind of leery about the about your projections for revenue. Okay.
You're talking about the assumptions of making $100,000 a month.
Yeah, because you're trying. Well, it's brand new. We've not done this before.
Yeah.
And what you're projecting is we're going to do this every month. We're going to just never stop pitching. So you're going to have, what, 300 days a year of pitching. And
Well, actually, I'm projecting fatigue. I'm projecting an average of 25 days per month of pitching.
Right.
So in other words, that gives us some space for specials, some days where, like, tomorrow we have, like, 1 hour of pitching, you know, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., like, you know, on prime time. You know, some days are really very light, and some other days we have five hours. So I'm averaging it. So I'm assuming that we're going to have $4,000 a day. So if you have 3 hours, $4,000 a day, I'm assuming, you know, on an average, you know, we should be raising $1,300 per pitch, plus or minus. Some of them are higher, Blaisdell, some of them are lower. So that we have to assume that. You know, we have to assume that. Producers have to step up, come up with premiums. Because, you know, based on what we have experienced so far for this past 2 weeks, it is clear that when we have something new or something interesting, we make money during that hour. You know, and so, you know, we haven't even tapped into Mimi yet. Because Mimi, you know, we have not had Mimi pitching this past 2 weeks. And so so these are the kind of things that we have to evaluate. My point is, I don't want to be optimistic, but at the same time, you know, we have to expect something from us. You know, I'm already projecting $109,000 of deficit, which is probably going to be mostly money not paid to Central Service. And a slight increase of $5,000 a month for BI Buddy, for example, would give us another $60,000 extra in that budget, and so on. So that's my proposal, you know. And I know the budget is not supposed to be a wishful thinking, but that's my proposal. That's what I think we can do. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be easier than it used to be for me and Linda, because we don't have to rush around all the time at the end of the week trying to figure out and set up another schedule. All we have to do now is focus on finding premiums to plug in into those spaces that we have designated for them.
All right. I want to point out that you're basing $1.2 million revenue from listener support on raising $4,000 per day in 300 days of pitching. Now,
yes.
300 days of pitching, one way or another, whether it's just BAI buddies or ordinary pitching or a mixture of all of this, that's not been tried before, and it's not something I think you could really bank on, and it's something that it's not proven revenue. And I think that if you're hoping that we don't produce tremendous pitch fatigue in the listeners, and you're basing just everything on that. And I'm a little bit troubled by that particular thing, on top of which you're projecting us coming in with a six-figure deficit as a result of all that. So, it's a bit of a problem right there. Also, just fast, in the spreadsheet you sent us, that tab, the committee doesn't see this because I send out the proper PDFs on this, but in the actual spreadsheet, the tab says Budget FY 2020. Again, you need to go over this whole thing and take out stuff like that and correct those, because when people see that on the NFC, they're going to bring it up and it will be a problem talking about anything. All right. So I'm leery about this. All right,
you
Virgo?
Mean the explanation, the 2021 explanation?
No, I'm talking about the tab on the spreadsheet. It says FY 2020. It should say FY 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little thing, but they're going to notice it and say, why didn't he notice that? Do we trust his numbers? So really, you got to, the whole, the spreadsheet has got stuff like that in it. You've got to get that out of there. All right, I just want to say I'm leery of this thing, and I think we're gambling here. All right. Anybody else have anything else to say on
James?
Okay, James Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, Bertold. Have you calculated at all, or even a rough estimate of how many total hours of pitching under this new so-called soft pitching system that you're going to try, as compared to when we were pitching for many hours a day, which of course does produce fatigue on the part of the listeners, but this is a much, much less each day, is it not? Can you give us some numbers as to how much less? What's the comparison of the, and let me just say, what's the comparison of the total hours of pitching last year and what you would expect to be next year?
Okay, so the average is between 2 and 4, so once in a while, really by accident, 5 hours. So we're averaging 3 hours of pitching a day. So even if you put it at 3.5 hours of pitching a day, so at 300 days, that's giving you 1,050 hours of pitching. When we are pitching daily, at 131 days, we're doing, 7-8 hours a day. So times 8 hours a day, So that would have been just about the same amount, you know, just about the same amount. Only difference is, you know, when you're pitching for like 37 days, you know, we never pitch for 31 days, by the way, 35 days, we extend it for another, so 35 days and so forth and so on. And if you're pitching 7 hours per day, Monday to Sunday, for 35 days, then you lose listeners. People get tired of it. People turn it off. Now, for example, the way the schedule is working, and the producer seems to kind of like this so far, the way the schedule is working is... let me see. 52 weeks. If you take any day, I'm just looking for a day here. For example, tomorrow, Thursday, August 6th, we have...
Bertolt, hold on a second. Somebody's doing something, making noise, talking to somebody. Would you please mute yourself for now?
That's Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, would you please mute for a few minutes while Bertolt's talking? Thank you.
Tomorrow, on Thursday, week three, of that 52 weeks, August 6th, we have regular programming from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then we have a special at 3 p.m. and another one at 4 p.m. And we're thinking of putting Democracy Now at 4 because at 4 o'clock has been depleted. But let's assume we play that, so that will be 2 hours of pitching. And then again at 7 p.m. we'll have another pitch. And so for prime time between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. we'll have 3 hours of pitching tomorrow. You know, so that's how it works. On Friday, we'll have 7 a.m. Pitching, and then we'll have another 11 o'clock pitching, and on Friday, that's set for Friday. So, you know, it varies, and it's, you know, the idea is that a listener listens to a pitch and then goes into a regular show for another 3 to 4 hours before they hear another pitch. And another for 3 or 4 hours, again, they go to regular shows before they hear another pitch. They don't know when the pitch are coming, but it's every 2-3 hours interspersed. So for 3 hours. So they will. The idea is they're not going to leave the station.
Could I have a follow-up, Paul?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And Bertolt, this is something you and I have been talking about for some time. If you do this strategically and you pitch after successful shows, shows that we know bring in money, shows that we know have lots of listeners, and shows that are exciting for one reason or another, you know, would attract a lot of interest, doing the usual way that we do Fund Drive, nothing happens after a show like that. It's just dead air. You know, we move on to the next thing. No, there's no pitch. But system, if you strategically target the pitching after the shows that you can expect with your experience, given your experience in this, you can expect these shows to have a good result, then theoretically we might even get a better result doing it this way. I also remember you telling me that it takes about a week of being in Fund Drive under the usual system that we've had before people kind of get the idea, and then you see the numbers start to tick up. And then, of course, at the end, when the fatigue sets in, you see it's kind of a long, slow drag out where the numbers go down, and, you know, we kind of limp our way across the finish line. So theoretically, now people will always know that pitching is going to be on, and especially, you know, they'll be expecting it, and especially after these kinds of shows that, you know, if we can target the ones that might be expected to make a good return. Any comment on that? Is that is are you planning on following it closely like that so that you can?
I have a comment. I have to watch when I talk to you. Are you recording me?
No, I'm not recording.
No, I'm just kidding. That's exactly the idea. We want to put, a good picture on the Democracy Now. We would like to alternate between health and political pitch. The strategy really is that, I'm talking to Christine Blasey right now, trying to see if I can get one pitch a month from her. I want one or two pitches from Gary Noel because I don't have to pay for that in certain ways. I want one pitch from Tony Bates or one or two pitches from Tony Bates. I want one or two pitches from Mimi Rosenberg. And then in between, if we have like four or five good pitches that way, we can intersperse them. You're talking about three hours a day, for a month. It's 3 hours a day times, 30 days. That's 90 hours of pitching among five different good premiums. That will generate, right now we are seeing that our premiums are generating our premium are generating... divided by 18. That's like $1,000 per hour. And then that's the first week. And the second week, we generated $1,200 per hour. So we are monitoring that, And so hopefully we want to get to the point where we're generating $1,500 per hour pitch for only 3 hours. 3 hours, one day, yeah, and that would do it. I'm trying to get rid of listener fatigue, pitching listener fatigue, and I understand what Paul is saying, but I think the listener fatigue is that if you do 37 hours of pitching, by the time you get to start doing programming and catching up, it's time for the next fund drive, and you're doing another 37 hours of pitching. In this case, we are doing the same thing every day. We are doing 3 hours to 4 hours of pitching, sometimes 2 hours, and so people know. People, hopefully, they will pick up that they can continue listening to this station, and then after this, they will hear something that is not a pitch. There's something that's of value, the next show or whatever. So,
Berto, you're not answering my whole question. Arpal, can you indulge me? I want to try to get Bertel to answer the part of my question that he hasn't answered.
Okay.
Apologize. I get it, Bertel, that you're gonna have pitches that may be canned or not canned. I don't know how you're gonna work it, but excuse me, you're gonna do an hour at a time with Gary Noel, Christine Blasdale, Amy Goodman, etc. But what I was talking about is after you have a show where the listenership is high, whether, Amy Goodman in the morning, whatever it happens to be, maybe Gary Noel in the afternoon, but you know that the show has good results, or maybe some of the shows from the archives that we have, the day Malcolm X was assassinated, something like that, that we know brings good results, is that Are you planning to pitch after those shows, maybe not for an hour, but for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, to try and generate some income off of what we know is the high point where our listeners are there? And they, after a good show, after a good Amy Goodman show or a good archive show, a show that, strikes people, where they live or how they
I know now. I know now why I didn't answer you before. Because my answer is yes and no. The reason it's no is because I do not want to keep preempting the same shows. Because if I do that...
I'm talking about doing a targeted pitch after a particular show, not
preempting,
not an hour-long pitch. A short pitch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are focusing now on half-hour pitch of 5 minutes or 7 minute pitch pre-recorded to play. Sometimes we're cutting a show and then putting in a 3 minutes or 7 minutes at the end of it.
Buddies
and that kind of stuff, yeah. But
no
is that, you know, normally, you know, after Democracy Now, you have a large audience, right? So normally you would preempt just about everybody at 9 o'clock after Amy Goodman at 8 so that you can make money. So then that destroys those shows at 9. So now the way we are designing it is so that a show will only be preempted, you know, every 4 weeks or every 6 weeks or every 8 weeks, depending on how it flows. And so that, you know, so we're trying to keep the balance. Yeah.
This is Serene.
So,
yes, other people, Serene Roberts, go ahead.
Okay. So I listened to Michael G. do a fairly intense pitch after most shows. So I keep hearing James say, you know, so are you pitching after the show that have a large listenership? That's precisely what Michael G., you know, I tend to listen more in the mornings than in the afternoon, so I assume Reggie is doing a similar thing. I have heard him do similar things in the break. I think two things that need to happen is that, except for, you know, a national show that may end at 57 or whatever the case is, all other shows, which is to say every single local show, regardless of how special, you know, some people may listen. Everybody thinks they don't have enough time. But if the rule is 55, then the rule is 55 for all local programs. And I'm not going to point out someone who regularly violates that, but I'm sure since management also listens to the station, they hear it. And that leads to, one, a loss of an opportunity for the engineer to do any forward announcing. It blocks them from doing a pitch for the show that was just completed because they're scrambling to get the next show on time. And, you know, that needs to be
institutionalized.
Let me finish. So it's been the rule for a minute. So it really needs to be reinforced, and people have to be advised that they must adhere to that. So that after a powerful show, and everybody believes their show is powerful, I assure you, you know, but after each show, there's the pitch. There are people like King Downing is up at 6 in the morning. Well, he's up long before that, but, you know that the last, that he's going to interrupt. He has two segments, and he interrupts the first segment, maybe at about 20-something, to do a sustained pitch, and then he wraps up with the first guest. Sometimes the first guest stays over into the second, and he also does a pitch then. So there's a sustained pitch within many programs. Milton almost always, in fact, Milton always does that.
Milton is generating one new BI buddy every week, almost.
Only he brings on guests. He had Glick on earlier this week, and Glick offered, I think, it's 6 or 7 books that then became, you know, a premium for someone becoming a buddy. So they are programmers, and I do not appreciate hearing, with all due respect, Berthel, I do not appreciate your saying, oh, the producers are just sitting around waiting for Amy and Gary and Mimi and I forget who the fourth person you mentioned was. That's not fair. Okay, not everybody has the same level of skill, but I know people who do a serious pitch. I know people who are on for hours and don't. So you need to make that rule consistent, you know, across the board as well, that if you're on for an hour, at least 5 minutes must be a concentrated pitch. You know, you're on the air. It costs money to keep it going. and this is not new either. But you got to stop dismissing the producers. The producers don't this, the producers don't that. They're very different kinds of people working at BAI. And there are some people who think that we're lucky to have them, and some people who realize they're lucky to have the air. But, you know, but stop that group condemnation thing. It doesn't work for anybody. It turns the listeners off. It certainly pisses off producers who try but are not always that successful for whatever reason.
The point is well taken, you know, and the truth is, if that was more consistently, uniformly done, we would be a lot more successful. It is clear that this works. The sustained pitch works. Milton Alimadi has been very successful. You know, there was a show that was not really Black Star News and really generating much money or interest. And all of a sudden, now this past 3 months, there has been intense focus on, and Linda's been working with them, trying to do things and stuff like that. And then we have seen results. We've been tweeting, pushing it, and we have seen results. You know, he's generating buddies every week. So that is, basically under this budget, as you guys know, the expenses are basically the same plus or minus.
I'm sorry, my statement was not an invitation to you to take over.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I appreciate your dedication to the budget, but the other thing is that, you know, a schedule that says you're not going to be preempted for such and such a period of time, that's not entirely encouraging news. Now, I do think that there have been erratic program changes, and I say erratic as in unpredictable, unannounced, not discussed. Communities disappeared from the air. Producers disappeared from the air. No process, no discussion. You know, so my complaints about that kind of conduct are longstanding, but we're also in a very aggressive news cycle, and there will be special hearings, and there will be special protests, and there will be lots of things that will, I hope, cause people to be preempted. Now, when I say that, I say because I want us to cover what is happening. But I do think you can say to people, there will be no unnecessary, and you will get as much advance notice as possible, and here are the kinds of things that may be coming up that we would encourage you to cover yourself so that you don't have to be preempted in order for the coverage to happen, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's realistic to say to people, you're not going to be preempted.
No, I'm sorry. I misspoke on that. Thanks for the correction. You know, like, if there was nothing, no extraordinary events or issues, you would not be preempted because we have a schedule. We set. We understand how much money we're going to be raising a day. We know, for example, tomorrow we're raising $2,500 and the day after maybe $4,500 to make up for it a little bit. We know that. We also know that the national office with Lydia Brisson, the new ED, is pushing a lot more national shows, that collaboration and stuff like that. So we know we're going to cover the Democratic and the Republican convention virtually or whatever. So we're going to be interviewing the Lincoln Project people. We have a lot of these things that we're going to be addressing. So the producers are fully aware that they will be preempted. You know, and then we reserve the right to preempt you, on a very short notice. Like, let's assume that there was something that exploded in Midtown Manhattan, obviously. You know, so things like that we will do. But sending producers a schedule on Saturday night, letting them know on Monday morning at 9 a.m. they're going to be preempted, we're not doing anymore. You know, we try not to do that, and it was very difficult to.
Claiming my time.
That's what we will do.
The fact is that there were predictable, announced news events that management did not decide to cover until the very last moment. And that disrupted people's planned programs. And that was unnecessary and unfair. And with regard to raising money, I hear you saying you're going to get this one to come up with a fresh this and this one to come up with a new that. And, you know, we pay these people. We pay Bates. Null pays himself, and we pay Christine, right? So Mimi's the only person of the number that you've mentioned who are working for free. And I would suggest that you all try to figure out what Mimi's magic is and have a way to share it among, you know, with the other producers and encourage them to come up with things that they can offer. And maybe 15, they do their regular program and they offer something for 15 minutes. Because, you know, paying people to produce things certainly decreases, you know, whatever it is, it offsets whatever we raise. You can't expect people to keep pledging for the same premiums. You know, and I love Natalie, but everybody has memorized Natalie Chandler's premium, but it still sells because she's that good, okay? But, you know, if you're playing the same, okay, you're only doing 3 hours a day or 3 hours during, you know, 7 to 7 or whatever the case is, but it becomes the same three or four things that we're hearing. That's, you know, that's a problem. And to say that there are not going to be any major changes, you know, after you've already made a bunch of cuts and slashes and et cetera, it does not entirely please anyone.
Yeah.
So to say, oh, the grid is pretty much fixed after you've pretty much, you know, chopped things up and out, you know, without a process again that involves, you know, that the bylaws require.
So, Serene, can I say something? Can I interrupt you? I appreciate you, but let's focus on the budget, and we can have that. That's a different conversation. You are right in many ways.
I am talking about the fact that we're talking about raising X number of dollars or X thousands per day, but we're offering people the same thing over and over and over again. Diminishing returns. You're not going to be able to pull in $2,500 on the same thing. When you play, just because you play something at 7 a.m. and you played the next day or 2 days later at 3 p.m., I don't know how much our audience changes over in the course of a day, but it'll be the same people who are hearing the same pitches. And, yeah, folks will take the trouble to change the station for an hour to not hear the same premium they've memorized. I am talking about the money.
This is Matt. I'd like to comment on that.
Okay. Matt, why don't you go ahead?
There's one particular premium. There are certain ones that seem to be very effective. I'll give you an example. Natural Medicine, A Survivor's Guide, Dr. Gwen Scott. We were doing this on Wall Street, and I don't know how many hundreds of them we sent out. We're doing it again, this particular drive, and we have gotten at least another 150 of them. It's a 3-DVD set where she shows you how to make your own preparations. Herbs and spices, extract, very clear to empower you with very little money to make some of these home remedies. And you hear it. I hear it at 3 o'clock in the morning. I heard it in the middle of the day. Yes, it seems what you say, but in this instance, hundreds of them. I have more to send out now. I have more to produce and send out. You know, it's hard to say what's going to actually work, what's going to turn people off sometimes.
Well, I said Natalie was extraordinary, and that's why that premium works. But, however, Natalie didn't charge us $500 or whatever amount to do it. She did it because of her commitment to the station. And, you know, that was her show. She was doing a show, and she offered that premium that it seems will last forever, although, as I said, I've memorized much of it. So I don't think we can, however, continue to put, you know, it's not an infomercial. We're not doing infomercials. And there's a difference between the quality of Natalie's presentation, and no offense to anyone else, and someone else where it's clear that they're hawking something that, you know, they don't necessarily even believe in or would consider using or is good or affordable or, you know, useful in the long term for the folks who are listening to it. We can tell the difference.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Christine Barsdale, she claims she was using one of the products.
Whoa.
Yeah. friend, she was using it, and she had some issues. So, I mean, sometimes they do.
All right. Does anybody else have anything to say on the budget and stuff that we've heard tonight? Not. I think that it would probably be good if, for the next meeting, we aim for maybe actually sending, doing a final look at this budget, and with the idea of probably sending it to the LSB for the LSB to look at its September 9th meeting. And if we could do that, we'd actually get a budget off there for change. I'm just suggesting that. We'll have a meeting the 26th. We have a meeting, and we should maybe really think about any final stuff we have and look towards the idea of maybe approving the budget or at least sending it to the LSB. All right? So that's my point. Anything further?